I'm kind of working two different strategies there. But I think the thing I like the most about it is it had kind of a hidden ADU, and I'm able to keep like a full-time on-staff person there who's just in the building. And so they can really give that like firsthand experience to the guests that are coming, make sure that, you know, the driveway is clear, make sure that everything is really perfect. Cause from that standpoint, I'm really fighting for those 5-star reviews, because if you want to take it really to that next level, you've got to have that really good foundation. Like everything's built on that foundation. And so we're rolling as many people through it as we can right now and rocking and rolling.
That's cool.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yonah Weiss. I'm doing wonderful today. I don't know if you can tell from the little bounce in my voice over here, but it's a great day, even though the weather is cold outside. It's raining, actually hailing today, but it's a great day to do a podcast. So I'm excited to have another awesome guest here. We got Joe Prilliman in the house. How you doing today, my friend?
Good, my man. Living the dream.
Living the dream. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm just going to just jumping right into that.
What just jump right into it. So it's a saying that my property manager and contractor used to tell me all the time. And it was his way of saying that the whole world is falling apart, but it's going to be totally fine. And we're going to keep rocking and rolling and make it all happen. So I loved it so much. I've been saying it ever since.
Awesome. Well, I guess living the dream, you know, you're just trying to make it happen the best way possible. So So let's get into it. I mean, you are obviously to me, because I know you, but our guests, our listeners don't know you so well. So why don't you give us a little background on who is Joe Prilliman? What do you got going for yourself right now?
Absolutely. So my name's Joe Prilliman. I'm a real estate investor, real estate agent, kind of been in the game since 2018, but jumped in because my wife and I, like, we just didn't love the 9-to-5 grind, and it was incredibly difficult right off the bat. We got married right out of college. We skipped graduation, walked down an aisle instead. And I called my dad. I told him I was starving. And he went, yep, I was ready for this phone call. And he threw me in a truck. And I went and sold industrial equipment across the Southeast. I covered 13 states. And I was gone for a month and a half of our first 3 months of marriage.
Wow.
And I was told very sternly that that was not going to be the case moving forward. And it was a very big, like, kick in the rear to, like, hey, this is real world. Like, you are going to be doing this the rest of your life, and you're going to work until you can retire. And it didn't sit well.
It didn't sit well. And so, I mean, obviously, that's an inspiration. I can't imagine being away from your newlywed wife for such a long period of time during those early days, which are very vital and, you know, to the stability of a marriage and a relationship is those first few months, first years. So what did you do practically? What was that transition like? Like, okay, now I got to figure something else out, right? The sales job, traveling salesman, is not going to work. Well, what is?
Right. And that's the crazy part, is like that, like, realization happened very early, but the actual practical, like, hey, we're going to, like, figure out a way out of this, it didn't come for years. And so I was in that job for multiple years, and I love my dad. We have a great relationship. I grew a lot in that time and got to learn a lot of just really rare and valuable skills from him, in all honesty. Like, he put me in a spot where I had to literally sit there and listen to him, like, make sales calls. And He's an incredible salesman, and I owe so much of what I know to him. But it was one of those things where, like, I just felt it in my soul, like, hey, this isn't right. Like, there's got to be, like, something else out there. Like, yeah, I've got to be able to find a way to do this. And that's when my brother-in-law actually sent me the Bigger Pockets podcast. And I got to listen to, like, that first episode, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is it. There's something else out there. I can figure out a way to do this. And man, that was it. That was 2016.
Wow.
And I just grabbed on to that podcast, and I listened to every single episode. I wrote down every single book they offered that they were like, hey, like, you need to read this. And they had all the fans at the end. They're like, here's the books that I've listened to that got me here. And when you're sitting in a car for, you know, 13 hours a day, you get a lot of time to listen to podcasts.
Wow. So, I mean, to a lot of people, Bigger Pockets podcast has been, you know, a driver, an accelerator to just get started. But a lot of people also get stuck in that analysis paralysis and just sitting there waiting on something or waiting for something to come their way or an opportunity to happen. What was your first, you can walk us back to that first deal that you did, the first investment property or for whatever it was.
Oh man, I love it. And he's going to love us too, because he attributes all my success to him. This guy named Alex Felice.
Sure.
I love him. He's incredible. So I reached out to him on Bigger Pockets because I'd like learned all this information. I was very much where you're talking about. I was stuck in that analysis paralysis. I was scared out of my mind. We were living like the normal life of like, hey, we're trying to save our way to financial freedom. So we're like not getting coffee. We're like making coffee at home and doing all the things that you think are going to get you there. And so we didn't have any money. And I reached out to this guy because he posted on Bigger Pockets like, hey, I just like bought this property with no money. And like, we were able to refinance out of it. And like, now it's making me $150 a month. And I was like, I just got to talk to him. I'm going to reach out. And so I reached out to him on Bigger Pockets. He hopped on a video call with me. It was like, hey, like, here's exactly what I did. If you're willing to do it, like I'll walk you through it. And Alex held my hand through my very first deal. That's and so cool. Showed me like, here's the stuff with that of like, he truly just gave all of it to me for free. And I was like, this can't be right. And he finally like kicked me in the butt and was like, hey, like go do this. And we did one. And it was like, oh my gosh, it worked. And that was the light bulb moment for me. Like that was the, I'm here, I'm ready to go. And we just hit the ground running from that point. And so everything that I've gotten that's gotten me to this point was given to me from other people who had already done it and gotten to this point. And so that's why I love real estate.
But the lesson, I mean, for me, taking away from that story, and it is amazing. And Alex is a great guy. And for someone to do that, I mean, that takes a certain type of personality, someone who's willing to do that anyways. I mean, it helped that he was somewhat local to where you are. But at the same time, you know, it's the lesson that I take out of that is you just have to do it. You just have to jump out of your comfort zone and take action and do something. And from there, like you said, you hit the ground running and you can keep going. But if you never do that, you're just going to be stuck in that same place that you are.
100%. And there's 2 years of like going to the local meetups. And like, it got to a point where I was reaching out on Facebook Marketplace to landlords who were posting their places to rent. And I was like, hey, if you'll let me buy you free lunch at this place called PT's here in Wilmington, which is just incredible. And I was like, I'll buy you free PT's if you will just talk to me for an hour about your life and tell me how you got here. And people love talking about themselves. It was incredible. And so I got to sit there and listen to all these guys who were doing what I wanted to do. And I learned all the ways I didn't want to do it. It was awesome. Just like, I don't want to be stuck in an eviction court all day and I don't want to do these things. And I learned all these little nuggets from these local professionals who like, they'd never heard of a podcast or anything. They're just there to get free lunch.
Sure.
And 100%. It's take action, step in there and like put yourself in those positions to get lucky. And that was it. It was, I have to find a way to do this.
Awesome. So now you've left the W-2, you've left the, you know, full-time work. You're a full-time real estate agent as well as an investor. So you own a bunch of properties, single families, mostly some small multifamily, a lot of short-term rentals also, which is, you know, kind of the transition, how you joined Avery Carl's team with the short-term shop. We had Avery and her husband, Luke, on the show a while back. Guys, check out those episodes because they are just gold. And we actually had Julie on the show, Julie McCoy, recently on the show, who is one of the agents, the first agent of Avery's team out in the Smoky Mountains region. But Joe, you're focused on the, you know, the North Carolina, like what's the market called? The beach coast. There's a name for it and I'm blanking.
Yeah. So we call it the Carolina Beach Market. And essentially, like, so I live on Carolina Beach down here in North Carolina, and it's really everything that's not the Outer Banks. So I'm covering everything that's Atlantic Beach all the way down to Ocean Isle. And so it's all short-term vacation rentals, it's drive-to vacation markets. And I absolutely love Avery, Luke, Julie, like everyone that you just mentioned, like they're absolutely incredible people. And I'm honored to even be in a room with them because I've learned so much just from like being on the team and seeing like these rock stars come in and just take over the world. And so, yeah, they all have a very, very good spot in my heart.
Yeah. And tell us about this market, because this is something, it is, like you said, it's a short-term rental vacation market on the Carolina Beach. Are there people that live there? Or these are solely like, you know, vacation rentals? People have second homes, people have vacation homes, or using them as Airbnb rentals? Like, do you know the numbers in terms of the data of how many actual people live there versus, you know, rental properties?
That is such a great question, because each one of those little tiny, like there's really like 11 little beach towns essentially, and each one has like their own little cultures and their own differences between them. So like if you're talking like just specifically honed in on like Pleasure Island, which is Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, like it's, we're 15 minutes from Wilmington, and so we have a ton of people who've moved here recently that are like, hey, I can live at the beach and I can commute into work. And so we have a lot more primary residence people here now. But if you look like a place like a Holden Beach, for example, it's a quiet country town that is like all basically all short-term vacation rentals just constantly. And the locals don't typically live there on the island, but it's just a very different vibe. There's fewer restaurants, there's fewer shops, things like that, but it's all about being on that beach. And so each one of them is different. So I can't give you like a specific answer on that, but it is a lot of second homes. It's a lot of people who, depending on the beach, that are living there full time, but also are interwoven with short-term rentals. Like for me, for example, on Carolina Beach, we've got 10 units down here that are all kind of interwoven in between people who are now living here full time. And so it's transitioning from that standpoint, but there's just a ton of opportunity really across the board.
Sure. I mean, are you still seeing a lot of opportunity because you own properties there? You're an agent for the short-term shop, which is clearly, you know, the goal is to find these vacation specific markets for people to buy Airbnb properties, right? To rent them out as short-term rentals.
Yes.
And are you still seeing like a lot of growth and opportunities in these markets?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a driving factor of, there's just so many things with that. Like North Carolina, I kind of use this kind of jokingly, but I'm like, we're kind of slower to the trends. And so trends typically move west to east. They start in California, they end here. And so there's been so much opportunity for so long of like, you can still buy an oceanfront house that's, you know, under $1.5 million or under $1 million. If you're looking well, and like my most successful clients, like they're looking at kind of a broader range of places because there's opportunity everywhere. But I would say, yes, there are a lot of external factors that are pushing this market in a good direction. There's just a lot of people moving here across the board. And these beaches are really supported by Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham. And so like as more people move into that area, they're continuing to drive down and vacation here. And so we're seeing increased short-term rental numbers. We are seeing price points that are getting pushed higher and higher, but there's not a lot of places across the East Coast where you can buy an oceanfront house under $1.5 million. And so that second and third row too, you're looking at kind of that 700 to 900 price point range. It's going to generate 90 to 120 gross typically. And then depending on how you manage it, because that's what I love about short-term rentals. They're really about you. If you can go in there and make it just incredible and a beautiful place to stay, really an experience, you're just going to do better. And so from that standpoint, it's the most active form of real estate investing. And so scaling is very difficult, but think about it kind of like a trampoline. It's like something that's going to launch you kind of that next level so that you can further invest in more passive stuff in the future. But if you're crazy like me, you can just keep buying more of them.
Just keep buying more. How many, I think that's it. Yeah, like 20 or so units at this point.
Yep. So we're up to 16 properties, 21 doors, 16 short-term rental units. And we've got some midterms and long-term rentals and all that jazz. But yeah, just looking to grow and scale and keep going.
That's pretty cool. Tell me about this most recent acquisition that you had. You mentioned to me earlier, a 6-unit that you're using them all as short-term rentals. That sounds like a great idea. I mean, is it, I'm curious to hear about it. Is it more like, you know, they're interconnected or they're completely separate units?
So it was one large, think about it kind of like townhomes. So it was 6 individual townhomes all in a row, but it was, they're all individually condotized. And it was another investor who had purchased the property and done the renovation and the staging. And they just wanted out of the deal. And I was looking in that market. It's actually Banner Elk, North Carolina. And so I was born and raised kind of in the middle of the state in this little tiny town called Pofftown. It's right outside of Winston-Salem. And then now we're kind of expanding out to kind of all corners. So we've got the coast kind of figured out. We're now stepping into the mountains. So we've had that one for about 6 or 7 months now, but, and then we're kind of interweaving in between them, but still haven't done anything in Charlotte. That's kind of the, I need to figure that one out. But the property in general, I mean, it's wonderful because I can do the entire building as one large complex, or we can have each one individually going. So I'm kind of working two different strategies there. But I think the thing I like the most about it is it had kind of a hidden ADU. And I'm able to keep like a full-time on-staff person there who's just in the building. And so they can really give that like firsthand experience to the guests that are coming, make sure that, you know, the driveway is clear, make sure that everything is really perfect. Because from that standpoint, I'm really fighting for those 5-star reviews, because if you want to take it really that next level, you've got to have that really good foundation. Like, everything's built on that foundation. And so we're rolling as many people through it as we can right now and rocking and rolling.
That's cool. So, I mean, there that to have someone like an on staff, you know, on site staff person to manage these rentals or help, you know, with the, I guess, the accommodations, right? Making sure that things move smoothly. Because I've heard from a lot of people, most of the short-term rentals are, you know, can be done remotely and can be managed remotely and all that stuff. And you have like a dedicated cleaning person or maintenance person, but I've rarely heard of something like that where you have someone kind of on site that can really take care of that. So, I mean, it sounds like a good gig.
I love it. It's a great little mix if you have that large enough volume that's in one location. Like, that's really the key is it doesn't make sense to do that if you have like just one or two or a few that are just freestanding.
Right.
But because you're 100% right. You can run these 100% remote. I'm a great cleaner, great handyman, great landscaper, and you're really rocking and rolling. But if you have a bunch of them, take all your problems that happen with just one, which it's easy to solve with just one. But if you multiply that by six, all of a sudden, if every single guest steals every fork you have in every unit, I've had this happen where people just walk off with my forks. I don't know why, but it's the most ridiculous things that happen. It's nice to be able to save a review like that, but that's definitely the exception. It's not the norm.
Well, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten some really crazy stories because everyone with vacation rentals have those guests that just, you know, nothing goes right with. You know, everyone has a story.
I've seen it all. My favorite ones, though, are the people who are like, this is the best place I've ever been. I'm like definitely coming back. And then they leave me a 4-star review.
Right. Like they don't. People don't necessarily understand what the, you know, how the algorithm of Airbnb works and what that means, a 4-star versus 5-star.
And, exactly.
You know, I did see one person, and maybe it was in the short-term shop Facebook group, someone posted some sort of like, I don't know, refrigerator magnet with like describing how you should give your reviews, you know? And so, I mean, that's helpful for people who aren't really familiar.
100%. And we even put them in all of our units, actually. I actually saw that exact same post and ordered every single one of those the moment I saw them. And it has helped a lot. Just so you know, it definitely did. But it's always that one person. And I try not to check anymore because it's like we're approaching that like 1900 review mark, which is just incredible.
That's
I can't believe we've gotten here. But every time I do check, there's that one person who's done it. And I'm just like, ah, come on, my dude. Come on.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, 1900 reviews. And you've only been doing this for how many years? 3-4 years?
Yeah, 3 or 4. We bought our first one in 2019. And that's whenever we did our first shift from long-term rentals to short-term. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been a bumpy, crazy, wonderful ride.
Wow. And so tell me what it means, because you, for some reason, put this in your bio in my notes here. And, you know, just piqued my curiosity. So I'm going to ask you what it means that you are best known, not for your short-term rentals, not for your real estate prowess, but your ability to get a front row parking spot at any Walmart east of the Mississippi. So I'm just gonna leave that there.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I will say that's probably the one thing I've been most consistent with in my entire life is it's truly my spiritual gift. I can pull up to any Walmart and it doesn't matter if it's completely packed or empty. I can get front and center parking. It's truly the best thing I'm good at. It's the only thing I'm good at, actually.
Wait, so it's not like a skill. It's just complete, you know, divine providence that you need to have. 100%.
There is no explanation for it. I am truly shocked that you brought this into the podcast. No one has ever brought it up when I put it in there. And so I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, I keep it real over here. You know, I want to make sure we cover all bases. You know, you never know when you're going to get a gold nugget out of that.
True. It's truly the rawest, most real podcast.
Oh, man. That's awesome. What I love about the short-term shop and about the short-term rentals, we learn so much because this is something that people can do on so many levels. You can have a full-time job, be happy with your work, and have a short-term rental and manage it remotely, or have a property manager and do it and get some great income and revenue. You can, you know, be full-time and, you know, have a few of these and be able to have enough revenue to retire from just a few, you know, 2-3 rentals. You can be doing this full-time. You can even be like yourself. That's, you know, love it so much that you're an agent, a broker, and helping other people buy these rentals. That's really the question of kind of leading up here is how did you get into that from the sales side, meaning the broker side and doing that? And How does that affect your, you know, ability to run your own properties?
That is a great question, because as I got deeper and deeper into truly real estate investing and figuring out how to grow and scale this, because I've got big dreams. Like, I want to do larger things. And like, I love being the dumbest guy in the room, because if you can put yourselves in those rooms, like, you're going to see, like, here's how the big boys play. Like, these are how the people that are out there and that are taking over the world. And it's very inspiring to be in a room with guys like that. But I slowly realized that everyone gets all excited about, okay, low and no money down deals. Like, here's how you get started. But truly the easiest way to grow and scale your business is through having capital. And so as I stepped out of my W-2 job, I realized that if I want to continue to buy more properties, I have to find a way to generate active income. And I was like, what am I good at? What can I do to serve other people around me? And I was like, I've been doing real estate now for 3 years. I have people ask me all the time, like, can you like mentor me? What would you do? How can you like, how can I copy what you've done? And I'm like, it's very simple. It's not easy. It's very simple. You like listen to these things and do these different things. And very, very few people will do them. But it was a way for me to generate as much income as I possibly could, to buy as many properties as I can, and at the same time, help other people do what they wanted to do to get to the kind of that next level. And so it was a natural step for me. I stepped into it at a really weird time. I got my license. I was probably a real estate agent for 6 months-ish, and then COVID hit. And so the whole world changed, got flipped on its head. And so I got to have the really the benefit of seeing, like, hey, here's how a traditional real estate agent operates. Here's how the sales work. Like, I got to cut my teeth with the learning, and I hired a coach right off the bat to like go through script practice and all the things you have to do to be a successful agent. And then the entire world flipped upside down, and I got to apply the real estate investor knowledge I knew and the agent stuff I did. And so it really was a perfect storm. I can't explain it.
And obviously you still enjoy it, because you've been doing this all the time and helping other people buy some properties out there in the Carolina beaches. That's pretty cool.
It's funny. I used to think that I didn't enjoy it. And then the more and more I like started to try to pull away from it, the more I realize it's like, hey, I actually enjoy this. Like, I'm in a position now where I actually love my job. Like, that was a really big kind of shift for my mindset. Was I didn't want to be like this passive person. Like, everyone talks about, like, I want to get passive income. I want to sit on the sidelines. And I was like, no, actually, I really love what I do, and I want to grow it and scale it. And I want to use that to provide jobs and like take care of other people. And so the only way to do that is to be really active. And that's kind of been what I've fallen into. So thanks for helping me talk through that.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, listen, you've been doing it for a while. You're still doing it. Obviously, you joined Avery's team. You've scaled up, because I'm sure having resources from her, you know, I'm sure she sent you, you know, hundreds of people who want to buy properties now in your market, which has probably opened up new doors and new amazing things to you.
Oh, 100%. I get to sit there and sit on the phone and talk to just some of these people who are doing things that I could never imagine like were even possible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm on the phone talking with this cat, and this guy's a rock star, and he wants to learn like what I'm doing. And I get a lot of, what do you call it? Can't even think of the word right now, where imposter syndrome, where I'm like, I don't necessarily feel worthy to talk to some of these people or be in the same room with them. And so I've struggled with that my whole life. And it's crazy that I get to have that opportunity to learn from these people that are just absolute rock stars, and they just give it all away for free. It's like, it's incredible. I love it.
It is. And I think that's the abundance mindset right there. And we talk about this a lot on the show, because there's so much knowledge out there. And the more you share with other people, the more it really comes back to you. And, you know, helping other people, and, you know, whether it's sharing knowledge, whether it's sharing your expertise, or just helping other people, that really comes back to you tenfold. And I think you see that a lot when you're talking with other people, especially about your, you know, area of expertise. You talk about not being the smartest person in the room, but obviously everyone has their expertise that they're better than, you know, 99% of other people. And so it doesn't matter if you know, you know, the most about everything. It's about knowing the most about one thing. And you can be an expert at that, and then teaching others or showing others how to do that, that really makes a huge difference. Because in the end of the day, you know, it's more about what we give than what we take and what we get out of this world.
Oh, beautiful. Can't add any more to that. That was great.
Well, on that note, Joe, let's transition to what we call the final four. These are four questions I ask all my guests. First question is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Yes, this is a very easy one. In college, I got a job at a moving company. And the moving company got subcontracted out to a real estate developer who was building apartment complexes. So my job was to carry refrigerators, washers, and dryers up all three flights of stairs to these brand new construction apartments and install them. And so I did that all summer, and I will never do that again. It was the worst.
That can take a toll on your back, you know, depending on what type of equipment you have. I mean, obviously there are some more fancy stuff now. They have these now elevator kind of lifts where they just bring it up.
Yeah, we didn't get those. I will say I'm the only dude who actually fell one time and had the refrigerator fall on me, which was hilarious. They all laughed at me. And then they stood me up and handed me the cardigan and said, all right, keep going.
Wow. All right. I can't imagine. Second question for you. What's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
So I love books, and I've recently been getting into rereading some of the same books because I always found myself like jumping to like the next great book and then never enacting the stuff. So I'd say Chris Voss's Never Split the Difference. I've listened to that book so many times, and knowing that like it's not necessarily what I say, but how I say it. And then at the same time, it is very much what I say. It just blows my mind every time I listen to it. It's changed a lot for me.
That's such an awesome book. We've had that mentioned on the show before. It's incredible. If anyone doesn't know what it's about, you know, Chris Voss was, you know, an FBI negotiator. And it's all a book about negotiation, but really it's about communication. And I've learned so much from that book about just how to communicate, how to, you know, mirror other people and get what you want out of them, you know, that people may be holding back, and that's what you want to get during a negotiation, but really in any conversation, hopefully you want to get stuff out of that. So love that book. I'm glad you brought that up because we haven't had that mentioned on the show in a long time. All right. Third question for you is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn? And this could be anything.
I've already knocked the whole parking thing out of the block. Oh, so that's not it, but I really want to get good at surfing. So I live on Carolina Beach. All the guys who work with me, they're really great surfers, and I am okay. And so I'm taking like my very first surf trip this year, going to Costa Rica with some of the GoBundance guys. I'm really excited about that. And it's just going to be awesome. So really trying to dig into getting good at surfing because I love it. And I look like a dead penguin when I'm out there. I'm just getting pummeled, and I'm always complimented for like just going for it, even if it's when they're like, he's gonna die. And that is true.
Just go for it. Well, it helps to live on a beach not on a beach, but you live, you know, right on in the beach town, right? Yeah. That really helpful to be able to learn how to surf. I mean, come on.
You think I'd be good at it. I know, it's been years, and I'm just like, they're like, this guy's still so bad. It doesn't come natural to me. And so that's why I really want to be good at it. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, wish you luck. We'll get you back on the show. And next time we'll hear that you're going to be in the surf competition. We'll see you at that. All right. Fourth and final question, Joe, what does success mean to you?
So success to me, it really means taking the rare and valuable skills that you've worked so hard to build up and use them to serve other people. It truly does. The most successful people I know do that. And I wouldn't be where I'm at today without that. And those are just the people I really look up to. And so if I had to label success, it'd be that way.
Love that. And I mean, we talked about that a little bit, you know, up until this point, but I love how you've just kind of framed it because that's really what it's all about. And so I appreciate your candid approach in that. And, you know, with that definition, you know, I wish you much continued success, and I'm looking forward to hearing more. And I did mention to you when we met last year in Charlotte that, you know, I am looking to buy an Airbnb property at some point. And hey, who knows? Carolina Markets, Carolina Beach. Hey, maybe
come down and surf with me, man. We'll make it happen.
That is one thing. You know, I grew up in Southern California and never went surfing ever, you know, so
perfect. Now's the time. Both be terrible together.
All right. There's a date sometime in the future.
There we go.
Awesome. Joe, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they want?
Best place to get me is on Facebook or Instagram. Just shoot me a message and across the board. That'll do it.
All right. We'll make sure to put your links in the show notes. And it's really been a pleasure, Joe. Thanks so much for joining me and look forward to speaking again soon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And to our listeners, thank you guys for listening all the way to the end. Remember, the best advice comes only when you ask.
Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.